Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State collective. I'm Jim Galante, along with the executive director of Happy Valley United. That's Mike Villagrana. Mike, how are we doing this week?
Oh, we're doing great. Doing real great. Coming off the July 4th weekend. Had a lot of success on the recruiting trail from Penn State. Like I told you last week, you know, this thing's coming in waves. And this is the good way for Penn State and recruiting.
It sure was. Yeah, a week ago, the world was falling apart, Mike. We lost several recruits to Notre Dame, of all places, someone going off to USC. A week later, just as you predicted, a lot of good things going on as we hit the 4th of July weekend. This is also, before we start talking about some of those recruits that came in, we're hitting kind of this the dead period for the coaching staff, right? This is where you won't have any visitors. You can't visit players. What is the rule? How does that work in July?
Yeah, so July is kind of – it's the way that it changes every year, the schedule, the calendar, the recruiting calendar, that is. And, you know, July is tough. You know, we talked about it in the past. Or June is tough because these guys have official visits, unofficial visits, camps, and everything else around that, you know, the fundraising events and stuff like that that they got to go to. So it's like every day they're getting crushed. So then I think the 26th was the last day, at June 26th of the recruiting period that was still open. And now it's a dead period. So they'll be away for the next couple of weeks, spending time with the families until they're back at it again every single day. I think the players report at the end of July. And then it's just that 6-month grind basically from there on out. But it's a nice time for these guys to just kick back, recharge with their families, you know, with their kids before they go into the season grind again. It's usually a fun time for these guys. But yeah, I've been in the office a little bit here and there, and it's quiet in there, but it's pretty neat. I mean, Coach Franklin still has it set up, so, you know, there's people still in the building from each department, so everybody's still getting things done, and, you know, in case of anybody needs anything from each department, somebody's there to help.
Now, the coaches are still allowed contact with the players through texting, or what is allowed during this period?
Yeah, pretty much everything other than visits. Okay. You know, the coaches can't go off campus and visit them, and vice versa. The kids can't come on campus and visit Penn State University. They can do it on their own, but they can't have contact with Penn State football.
Okay. So now there have been several commitments over the past week or so. And just in going still with the general kind of question, when these guys commit, what's typical? Does the staff know that the commit's going to go their way? Or literally do they sit there with their fingers crossed as that player's making his announcement?
I think most of the time, you know. But then there's the scenarios where the kid kind of makes you wait, the kid and the family and whatnot. But usually this time around, by the time they're done on their official visits, they let the coaches know, you know, what they're going to decide. So when they do decide and they make it public, that the coaches aren't, you know, surprised or thrown back. Because, again, you know, they're making relationships with these coaches, so that it's a business thing. So you don't want to, like, rub it in their face. And you still want to keep a good relationship with the coaches that you met at other schools. So they usually know, Jim. And to be honest, you know, I've been at places. I don't know about this wave and how Coach Franklin did, but at other places I've been, you know, coaches strategically do it to gain momentum to go into the fall. So they'll tell, you know, XYZ commits. All right, you're going to commit on July 4th. How about you commit on July 5th? But you commit in the morning, and then the third guy, he commits in the afternoon, and then you just try to create all the momentum, and you see it on the message boards, and the fans are happy, and then boom, next thing you know, we have the season here. So it's just part of the waves and the cycles that I was telling you about that, you know, college football goes through around this time.
And so some of the timing is strategic. There's more to it than just a random. So that's great to hear that they've got that kind of under control. Well, let's talk about some of these names. As we talked about a week ago, it was all the negative stuff. You told us just be patient. Wait a few more days and things will be different. And my goodness, they certainly were. I'm going to give you some of the names. These are the guys who have been making the commitments in the last week or so since you and I last recorded. Just want to get your quick take on some of them. Let's start with Jackson Ford, defensive end, 6'4", 240. He's out of Malvern, Pennsylvania, which is right outside of Philadelphia area. We often talk about it's great to get those Pennsylvania kids. It's great to get those kids in from the Philadelphia area.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he, again, PA, you want as many of the guys in PA to stay in PA. And you look across the board in the country, and not every school is going to go 15 out of 15 for their top kids in that class. So, but that being said, we're doing a hell of a job with the in-state kids here. Out of all the kids in-state, the top prospects, you know, it's easy to see that we're going to continue to dominate the state. But, yeah, Jackson Ford is a hybrid type defensive end, 6'4", 235. You know, he's a stud, big kid. He's one of those kids. You don't know where how he's going to develop and what he's going to grow into. He's going to grow into, you know, more of that five technique, three tech, defensive tackle, or is he gonna be that bigger type of rush end? But it's gonna be interesting. He has the physical traits to develop into something pretty special. And he fits that mold that Penn State has been getting, that they've been targeting as far as defensive ends too. So it's great get for us. You know, it's gonna be interesting to see what he does in the next couple of years here.
Okay, then. Next up, around the same time, we saw a commitment from Elijah Littlejohn. He's listed as a linebacker, 6'2", 205. He's out of North Carolina.
Yeah. And, you know, that school, it goes way back. One of my first commitments I ever received when I was actually coaching, when I was a young guy, was from this school, West Charlotte. And so I love this school. I love everything about it. I've always recruited it at all the places that I've been. And that coach is a great coach, the head coach there. School, it's a tough school. It's a good basketball school too. But those kids coming out of that program are tough. Like they're going to come in a program and they're going to have, you know, some shit to them. I'm really excited about this. This is going to be really good. He's going to fit that linebacker room really well.
And you mentioned North Carolina, that's a pretty good recruiting region. And, you know, are we going to see a difference there with Bill Belichick now at North Carolina? Do you think that will change the dynamic at all in that state?
No, I don't think so. I think the whole Bill Belichick experiment is, you know, TBD. Let's see how this thing plays out. But I don't think it's going to really – I think they're going to still recruit nationally. I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm really interested to see where that experiment – to me, it's like an experiment where that's going to go. I think it's going to be really good, especially with the way that college football is transitioning and it's evolved. But I think we'll still have some success there. Everybody recruits Charlotte because it's such a great area. Like you can hit so many schools in one day and get so much done in a couple of days there when it's recruiting. And they're good kids. Those kids that they'll go out of state. You know, they're not. You know, they don't have a Penn State at, you know, in North Carolina. North Carolina's a great school. NC State's a great school, but it's not a Penn State. You know, when a kid goes to visit there versus Penn State, it's just going to be different.
You have more confidence in Bill Belichick than I do. I think at his age, I realize the college game is sort of becoming more NFL-like, you know, with the salary and what you need to do as a general manager is becoming a little bit closer to NFL. But I'm just wondering, at his age, never having done it before, and boy, you know, you could attest to this with James Franklin, the energy it's needed for a head coach in college football, it's incredible. And I'm just not sure, you know, at his age, and that's not even bringing up having to keep up with a 24-year-old girlfriend.
It's insane. It's insane. It's so cool watching that. And I would love to be just a fly on the wall there. You know, I've talked to a lot of people in our in college football and people I've worked with, just how interesting it is. Just like it's interesting to see. And then you throw in his girlfriend is it's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, it makes it a fun story, something fun to talk about. And I think everyone's going to be watching them. If I remember correctly, I think their first week of the season is at TCU. I think they play in that first weekend. But I know they have a pretty good game in that first week, which will be really interesting. And I'm sure we'll be getting national attention. We'll have to look it up between segments. But anyway, let's get to the rest of these players. Next up, an offensive lineman, Jack Fuchs. We got to be careful how to say it. We discussed this. It's spelled F-U-C-H-S. I read somewhere, and I guess his father was an NFL player and is now coaching. And somewhere someone looked it up, his father, the pronunciation, and they said it rhymes with books. So it's Fuchs. And I'm going to try not to say it again because I'm going to slip up one of these times, Mike. But talk about, we've talked about size, length, wingspan for players. He is an offensive line prospect, 6'8", 290 pounds, out of Tennessee. And I think the Tennessee thing probably has more to do just where his father happens to be in the coaching world.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that area, I'm very familiar with the area that Jack's from, but it's really good. And a lot of you get a lot of big defense and offensive linemen out of these areas. But he's that mold. He's 6'8", 295. And like, he looks like you could tell that he's going to be a massive kid when he comes off the bus in about 2 or 3 years. It already is, but wait until he gets in the weight room with Chuck and develops in the way that he's going to train. He's going to be a really impressive looking guy. Kind of reminds me of a player way back. I don't know who to comp him to because 6'8", like there's not a lot of these guys walking around, you know, but it's a great gift for us, obviously. Trout and the staff did a great job evaluating these guys. And they think long-term with these guys, right? Like not short-term. They're not expecting Jack to come in, play right away. You know, they expect him to come in and, you know, grind and put on the weight that he needs and develop. And he's going to be massive. He's going to be one of those guys like you want to walk off the bus first.
I'm sure. And that offensive line has turned into that development position. There's enough depth. You don't have to force a promising young guy onto the field before he's ready. All right, we've got a couple more commits to talk about. Stick around.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the Penn State Collective, supporting over 30 men's and women's sports and over 800 student athletes at Penn State. If you want to know more, go to happyvalleyunited.com. I have with me Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of Happy Valley United. Always great to have Mike on. Mike gives us some of the inside scoop on many of the players, especially the recruits. And that's what we're talking about today. After a tough week a couple weeks ago, losing out on some prime prospects, Penn State doing really well, a lot of players. We're going to get to the couple that were picked up this past weekend, but I want to ask you, Mike, about Adam McCann Gibbs. He's actually a kicker from Ireland. So first of all, How do you get a player from Ireland?
It's these kickers. There's all kinds of kicking guy gurus. There's the Coles kicking deal. They're all intertwined in this, and all special teams guys are intertwined with these guys. And so they know about all these guys, and they get them on campus, and they, you know, they run through a pretty extensive, tryout, essentially, kicking from all over the place, put them under pressure situations. And this kid crushed it, when he came to campus. And I think it was he can kick like a 60 yarder. Like, this kid's ridiculous, his foot. And he's already coming in a good room, with Barker and those guys. So I think this is really going to help that room and just continue the steadiness and the consistency in that room. Because, like we talk about all the time, you don't want to dip after all these good players, they move on. You want the next player ready to go. And I think this kid's going to be that guy for us.
Well, it is fascinating to see these international players, especially as kickers. I got the chance to talk to Riley Thompson about that. There's in Australia, like this whole group, it's like training to turn these rugby players into American style kickers. And I guess that goes to the international aspect of the American football game.
Yeah. Yeah. You see them all around the country, right? Like, I remember recruiting a couple of them, a couple punters that were Australian. We had a kicker on our one team, was an Australian, really good. They're just different. It's just like our guys, they're awesome. It's funny how that works, but I don't understand the trend.
The only thing I could think of is that we grow up in America throwing a ball. Those guys, they grow up kicking a ball, and it's soccer, it's rugby. They're kicking the ball a lot earlier than we are here, I imagine.
Yeah, that's their main sport, right? Like we look at football as the main sport, right? But football is the main sport in every other country.
Well, and I said rugby, but actually in Australia there's something called Australian rules football. Have you ever seen that game?
No. I just got my son into a rugby camp.
Australian rules football, it's kind of like rugby. And there was actually a time many years ago, I think ESPN was just looking to fill up their time. You ever get a chance, just look it up and look up some highlights of Australian rules football. It's absolutely wild. And it led me to ask Riley Thompson about, they play just like rugby without pads. So I asked him, who's tougher, Australian rules football players or American football players? It got into a bit of a discussion there on that, but I digress. Let's move on. A couple more commits over the weekend, 4th of July weekend. Let's start with another offensive tackle, Marlon Bright, 6'6", 260. Oh, he's the runt of the litter. After we talked about Jack Fuchs, who's 6'8", 290. Marlon Bright, he's a mere 6'6", 260, Mike.
Yeah, he's going to be another stud for us. Trout just keeps continuing to add these really good developmental players. Again, he's not going to be a guy that's going to come in right away, but we'll get a return on him in, 2-3 years. But, New Jersey guy, a region where we're going to recruit the heck out of. So it's really good to get another guy out of this region. Smart. I think he's, big academic kid too, 3'7", something like that. He's going to, bring depth to that room. I like everything about him.
We've talked for a while about the nature of Penn State recruiting now, really looking for that size, that length. And even you and I have had this discussion several times about, I see a couple of the offensive linemen, I say they look like basketball players. They're 6'8", and they look like maybe power forwards. Yeah. They come in at, let's say, 260. Before long, they're 300 pounds. But tell me a little bit more. Now, you have Coach Troutwine comes in, has really turned the offensive line around. I mean, I expect them to be good this year. They have depth. They're going to be good for several years in a row. There's good young players coming through. What is it that Coach Trautwein is looking for with an offensive line, besides some of the obvious traits that everybody's looking for, because he's just done so well in recruiting these guys?
Yeah, I think he looks long-term, you know, at the traits that are going to project and he can develop these players into what he's developed some of these guys right now, the Drews, you know, the Vengas, Doc. Like, he's developed all these guys, and he looks for particular traits. Obviously, number one, everybody wants, you know, a tall, long, big, wide-shouldered, wide-hips guy. You know, everybody wants those. Those are easy to see. But he gets these guys into camp, right? And he goes sees them play live. He gets to see this kid's makeup. He's going to be able to coach this kid up and develop him. All those things are big. But I think the big thing, too, is when he gets him in person on campus and in camp, he really works him out and finds those traits if he's going to be able to develop in some of the guys that we have right now. And if he sees that, then he's going to go all in. He's going to trust his evaluation of this kid. So if you see somebody that maybe not have, you know, all the big time names on their offer list, that doesn't mean anything to Coach Trout and our staff. You know, it's, you know, can they develop? Do they have the traits? Do they have everything else? Do they have the demeanor, the makeup? All of that matters when we're recruiting these guys, especially the offensive linemen.
I got to think that offensive line is one of the toughest areas to recruit, one of the toughest areas to evaluate, because you do end up with, I think Vega Ioane was a 3-star coming out.
Yeah, committed to Washington.
Yes, and from the Northwest. I mean, it was out of the typical recruiting area. Wasn't this 5-star that everybody was after?
Yeah.
But they saw something.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's when they get them on campus, it's totally different. It's completely different than seeing it on film. So I think that's the biggest thing. That's why camps are so important. You know, even with all the change in recruiting and the calendar and all the talk, you know, about changes, I don't think camps will ever change. We'll always have camps and the ability to in-person evaluate these players, because that's the most important thing. It's just when you have somebody like Trout who has an eye for this, that's really important. And it's not going to slow down. He's going to continue to do a great job evaluating these guys. And when you have a combination of a place like Penn State and Coach Trout, it's a great recipe for success.
And I don't want to trivialize development, which is obviously a huge part of it, but I got to think that evaluation is so important, bringing in the right talent. So,
yeah.
Let's go to – there's another commitment that came in over the weekend, Mike, and that was Tyson Harley, 6'4", 215, edge kind of guy, Gonzaga in D.C. That's your old turf. That's a big-time program, which you like to talk about quite a bit. What can you tell us about Tyson?
Yeah, so Tyson, I saw him. He was at a spring practice, and I saw him. And, you know, and I didn't know who it was exactly. I was just popping in, and I saw him, and I was like, holy crap, who is that? He's a great-looking guy. He's a freakish-looking dude. He's on, like, the leaner side. But you can tell he's going to, like we talk about, we look for avatars. Like, he looks like an avatar. You know, just like he's going to be pretty special. But coming from that school, you know, I've known about, you know, Gonzaga and that area for a long time. Everybody does. But Coach Franklin, like, his ties to this area and specifically that school and coach goes all the way back to, like, his Maryland days and maybe even before that. Because you guys all know he's a great recruiter. Well, imagine when he wasn't a head coach and what a psycho he was on the recruiting trail. You know, like he is ingrained in that area. So we're lucky his, you know, history and the success we've had lately in that area, and specifically with this school. Gonzaga is an awesome school. I don't know. It's really cool watching their tape. Because they have the neatest little stadium, you know, right in the, you know, heart of everything in that area. But yeah, really neat. And when you see a Gonzaga kid and when they come on campus, they're just different. They're a little bit more, they almost seem like a little bit mature and like a little bit ahead of the game when it comes to that. just because of the way that, you know, Gonzaga runs their program.
Well, that's one of those, again, the big time schools that they will travel to play some of the best teams. So you're already getting someone who's played against, yes, it's still high school competition, but it's not your standard high school competition that they're playing against.
Yeah, you know, it goes to like Darius Dixon, you know, who was an early enrollee this past year, coming from Mater Dei in California. Like everybody in the country, if you know high school football, you know Mater Dei and you know Gonzaga. Right. You know, right. Like those are two schools. They probably have played each other at some point, or at least have talked about it. Like they're just premier programs.
And you can't beat that, having played against that kind of competition coming in. As you mentioned, it's almost like there's a certain maturity level. They're used to playing that kind of competition. They're not so in awe when they get to the next level and yeah. start to play in college.
Yeah. And you know, when they finish, you know, middle school and they come into the high school system, you know, as a freshman, they're probably a little wide eyed and they're seeing these sophomores, juniors and seniors, and seeing the seniors specifically go off to these big schools, you know, seeing all these coaches come in, you know, this is as they're freshmen, seeing all these high school coaches come in, big time coaches, you know, they basically see that. So they're wired to want that. Right. So,
and they know what every year and they know what it takes to get there. All right.
Exactly.
That's it for quarter number two. Lots more to go when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim Galante. With me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Now, Mike, I want to shift gears to some of the players that are already on campus and part of the team. The time might be now, at least on a rotation basis. And I want to, first, the general question. We did the offense last week. I want to talk about the defense. And, Mike, I want to ask you about the importance of depth, especially on the defense. I used to say on this show over the last 2 years, it felt like Penn State didn't have 11 starters on defense. I felt like they had 18 to 20 starters. You didn't have two defensive tackles. You have four. How important is that in today's game?
It's so important. You have to have depth, obviously, everywhere. Right across the board, but especially at the offensive line and defensive line, because those guys, I mean, those are the trenches. It's inevitable, you know, knock on wood, you're going to get some injuries. Guys are going to get banged up. So the more guys you can rotate, the better. You keep guys fresh. And you also develop some of those younger guys, you know, at the same time. You know, I remember when Sean Spencer was here my first time, and I remember even Kenny Sanders had a role where he had to write down for each player their reps. So then Kenny and Sean would go, all right, how many reps did he have? Because he wanted to make sure everybody was getting enough reps, not just, you know, it was so he's keeping his guys fresh. And you see him, it's almost like hockey to me, like it almost looks like hockey line changes sometimes when after a play, you know, those guys, three or four guys are ready to come in and catch those guys a break. So yeah, you need like 8 to 11 guys, to be able to rotate. And it's important to have depth, right? So a lot at those positions, you have to be able to develop those guys that you recruit that you don't get a return on that first year. So that, you know, you have a steady stable of like 10 guys that you're able to rotate.
Well, I think isn't it James talks about like 2.5 starters or 2.5 guys who are ready to play at each position.
Yeah, you have to, because like I said, things are going to happen. Like every team in the country is going to have injuries. All right. So they have to have depth to get through that and continue to win. And I think Penn State is in the best position that they've been in a long time. Definitely since I've been with Penn State.
And we see that now the offensive line, I think injuries hit, you need depth, but you typically see that those same five guys out there, as long as they're healthy. On the defensive line, it feels like there's a rotation. I don't care how healthy everybody is. Multiple guys are going to play at each position. And I could just imagine the offensive lineman, they're over 300 pounds, and then they see a fresh guy across from him, you know, every series.
Yeah, that's got to kill. It's deflating.
I just picture an offensive tackle, and you look across and you see Abdul Carter there. Then you get someone coming in behind him who's fresh. He comes off the field, and now a fresh Abdul Carter comes back out there while you've been chasing somebody else for a while. It's got to be tough. So let's start on the defensive line, defensive end specifically. Now, we know Max Granville was a guy who we thought, okay, this is a guy who might be ready to step in and be part of that defensive end rotation. He's come up, he's injured. Sounds like a serious injury, but what that does is that opens up some opportunity for some of the other players. Talk to us about some of the names at defensive end, like Mason Robinson and Jalen Harvey, and some of the even incoming freshmen who we might see part of the rotation, you know, spelling Denai Dennis Sutton and Zariah Fisher.
Yeah, you know, you got Jalen Harvey is a name I think, you know, the fans know about, but I think this could be a big year for him, breakout year. He still has some room to grow physically, but athletically, he's somebody to watch for. Just some of the things that I've seen him and how he moves around and in the weight room, the winter workouts, I think he could be special. And I obviously coming in from Texas A&M, transfer PA guy originally. You know, I think there was a transition where we first came in. He had to get adjusted to the Penn State way of strength and conditioning, and he's made a bunch of leaps, and he's headed in the right way. You have Liam Andrews. Well, at the defense, I'm kind of jumping around, but at defensive tackle, Liam Andrews is a guy, you know, coming off an injury that could be really special. You know, he's young. You know, Zariah Fisher, you guys all know, you know, old guy. He's like as old as me, but awesome. And he's had a great offseason, like terrific offseason. Obviously, with Max getting hurt, that hurts us a little bit. But and then Kamoju is probably the one that I'm really excited about. Just because he's like kind of like a sleeper. He's just a true freshman. You know, not a lot of people know about him unless, you know, you follow recruiting and all that stuff. But he came in and he's just doing stuff that true freshmen shouldn't do. I'm so excited about him. And I think he's going to be a household name when it's all said and done when it comes to him. But, you know, there's a couple other guys. But those are the guys that are really standing out to me.
I want to go back to, you mentioned, I'm glad you did, Anai White, who's a Pennsylvania kid, a Philadelphia kid, who we talked about a lot on our show a couple of years ago in the recruiting class. He was, again, one of these Pennsylvania guys that in recruiting, we talked about him so much. He ended up going off to Texas A&M. I'm excited about him coming back, partly because there's also a history of portal guys coming in at defensive end. Remember, Chop Robinson was a portal guy. Arnold Ebiketie was a portal guy coming in. And now Anai White, who I think he was banged up a bit while he was at Texas A&M, wasn't he, Mike?
Yeah, he was banged up a little bit, but he's been full go since he's been here that I've seen. And it's just, he's already transitioning his body, which is kind of, it's interesting because usually a guy coming in off the off as a transfer, has had some development, but he's still growing and developing, and he does look good. Looks the part. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up, though. You know, he could be better suited inside, but you know, that's easier said than done. He's the guy that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Well, he could end up inside. He got pretty good size, so he has the size where he could move inside. But that also gives you an opportunity to put in a defensive end who's pretty big also, you know, on third and short, or just anchor one side of the line. Having that, again, this goes to that depth situation where you could have a speed rush guy, or you could have just a monster at defensive end, right? Having a guy who's versatile, that helps the cause.
Oh, tremendously. But, you know, just not an eye. There's a couple other guys that are going to be, you know, Mason Robinson coming in again, and he's going to have, a chance to contribute this year. It's a well-rounded room altogether. A young guy that I'm excited about, a true freshman just got here, is Chaz Coleman from Warren, Ohio. I think he's going to be a freak when it's all said and done. Kind of like how I talk about Kamoju is the same, yeah. How I feel about Chaz Coleman. But this is projecting very early, but those are my hot takes. So those two guys are going to be household names when it's all said and done. It's going to help us get us to where we need to be.
Isn't it funny? You know, we as fans, you see the guys, maybe their high school tapes, they're in uniform. You see the numbers, 6'4", 250 or whatever. But when you see them up close working out in a T-shirt, or maybe not even a T-shirt on, you could look at some of those guys and just go, oh, wow, there's a stud.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like Kamoju. That's and with them, you can tell that they're studs, but they're like, you can tell how much bigger they're going to get. Like, that's what's scary about those guys. Like, they look big now, but they're not even close to what they're going to be in a year or two.
And yeah, you could just see the kids who have that frame. You talked about it, the broad shoulders. They might be, you know, looking like basketball players today, but it's easy to look at them and just say, oh yeah, I could see that same kid with another 40 or 50 pounds on him.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. That's exactly how it is. But, yeah, it's funny. Like, even with the body comps, like we talk about all the time, the body comps with O linemen and D linemen, especially O linemen, you don't get those big old guys coming in with big bellies. Like, you don't see that anymore. And I look at our room, and just collectively, like, there's no guys with that are big belly guys. Like, these guys are huge humans. Those bad body comp guys, like, you don't see those guys anymore.
Well, I think that's one of the big differences at offensive line. I think years ago, that was the guy who was recruited, and you just hope that you could trim them down and then build them back up. Whereas now, just the scouting has gotten better. You realize, no, I don't want the kid who's 6 foot, 295 pounds. I want the kid who's 6'6", 240, and I know he'll be able to carry 300 well.
Yeah, and still be athletic. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's got to be one of the biggest difference. Real quick, in the last 30 seconds, we have another transfer on the defensive line. Owen Wafel came in from Michigan, still a young guy.
Yeah. You know, he's a physical guy. Kind of reminds me of the guy that he was with at Michigan. Browns just drafted him. He's not a super tall guy, but he's explosive. You know, he's the type of guy that has, you know, that short quickness.
Durant?
Yeah, he's like a Zane. And he's kind of cool. I'm still getting to know him. He's kind of about his business, obviously. You know, I had the recruitment with his brother too, but he's been great. We're lucky to have him, and I'm glad it all worked out and he came back. Funny story is him. Like, you get these winter workouts, and, you know, they're doing the gassers across the field at the end or whatever, and they're hard, right? And sometimes you get these guys, and it looks like they get shot right out of a – sniped because they just sometimes their hammies just go, he was one of those guys. One morning, it's not funny, but I mean, he recovers quickly. He recovered quickly from it, but it's just like he gets shot and he just went down. it was funny, but no, he's doing great. Coach, Coach Losey has talked really well about him and how he's developing in the weight room.
Oh, wonderful to see. All right, that's it for quarter three. One more segment to go. Stick with us.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United. He's Mike Villagrana, Executive Director at Happy Valley United. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number four of our show. Let's get back to Penn State football. I've actually really enjoyed this topic. I've essentially been asking you, Mike, what's next or who's next in the rotation of Penn State. A week ago, we talked about the offense. This week, we're talking defense. Last segment, we talked about the defensive line. And to me, it's even this whole who's next is even more interesting on the defense because It feels like more guys rotate in and are part of the scheme on defense. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And it's fun to see the players the next level. So we talked defensive line. Let's talk about linebackers now, which it becomes even a little more interesting because we're seeing more like 4-2-5 where that fifth guy might be a safety hybrid kind of linebacker. So it's kind of, it's not exactly the traditional three linebackers, a middle linebacker and two outside linebackers anymore.
Yeah. And this is just my opinion, but like, I love the linebacker position. I've always loved it. I played it a little bit. I love recruiting it, evaluating the position. So I love it. I love it. And then obviously being now at Penn State, it's perfect, right? But yeah, it's the position has evolved and it keeps going back and forth. It's like, you know, everybody goes, traditional football back in the day was just run the ball to, you know, then you see the spread schemes, right? And then it's back to all right, just pound the ball. Like it's the same thing with the position, I think. You know, when my first round here and it was, you know, my last year, we left the Fiesta Bowl was my last year when we won and we beat Washington. I remember we used to always have this topic with Coach Franklin when it came to evaluating linebackers is you have to have like very athletic, fast guys that when they're out there in space, they're not a liability, right? Well, during the game, we got hit with a motion. It's a certain type of motion that got us out of whack defensively. And then it put, I think it was Kabinda. Maybe it would have been a Kabinda. You know, Kabinda was a Mike. Put him outside of the box and had to cover a guy. I think it was like maybe a vert and hit us, right? They scored on us on that. Coach Franklin comes over to us. I think it was me, Kenny, and Andy Frank and Andrew Goodman were standing there. And he's like, that's why you have to recruit the Micah Parsons, obviously the Micah Parsons, but guys that can play in space on the outside. And it's just really neat to see how this has evolved because, you know, those guys have to be fast. You get those two, you know, you need two studs that are all time, like the Dom DeLucas to me, the Mari Campbells now in the middle. You can't, this is the other thing. I'm kind of getting off on a tangent.
Oh, that's fine.
But you get a guy, you want a guy that's able to do that, right? Maybe he's a bigger safety hybrid and then say, okay, let's just move him down. But is he tough enough? Does he have the instincts? Can he play downhill? That those traits, you still need to be able to do that. So you can't just move a guy in and then this is what I've seen. That guy doesn't have the makeup to play in the box, right? And now you can just get crushed if you don't have a guy that can plug holes, play downhill, hold the line. You're going to be in trouble. So it's a funny balance. Long story short, I think you have to have a balance of guys that are a high IQ inside and they can play downhill, first step, instinctive, right? And then you got to have guys that are able to play outside of the box, like the Tony Rojas is. And to me, Dom DeLuca is a little bit different. I think he can do a little bit both. Right now, he's my favorite player. My son's name is Dom. I love everything about Dom and his story, what he is now. Like, I wasn't there when he first started and when they recruited him to what he is now. He's a football player. Like, every Penn State player or every Penn State fan, so you're going way back, has to love this guy. Like, he's everything Penn State is. So I love Dom. You know, some of the younger guys that are going to be really special, I think, you know, Speca is having a good offseason. Really excited to see what he does. Keon is a guy that I hope that he can have a really strong fall camp and add some depth and rotate in there. Obviously, Tony Rojas, it's funny. I was talking to somebody. It was an agent, and, you know, he's asking about some guys, you know, that are coming up. And, you know, I was like, have you watched or heard about Tony at all? And he really didn't know much about him, which was kind of crazy to me, because to me, he's already a household name. Like, I think he's the next, right? Yeah. Like, he kind of reminds me of, was it Brandon Williams?
Yeah,
Brandon Williams, who we recruited when I was here. But I think he is more well-rounded than what Brandon was. He's more of a true football player to me. Not that Brandon wasn't, but he just brings a little bit more to the position, I think, when it comes to versatility. So yeah, I think that hit all the guys.
I hit a lot. I think the point you made, and it's fascinating. I've always loved the safeties who are willing to come into the box and hit people. I think before your time, I don't know if you remember the name James Boyd, who played at Penn State.
Yeah.
We did something a couple weeks ago on our show with a different group. Anyway, they had the all quarter century team, and I voted. And James Boyd, I just love any safety who's willing to come up and hit people. That sounds like what you want for a linebacker, a guy who is probably physically capable of playing safety, but willing to come into the box and hit people. In fact, you mentioned Dom DeLuca, who, yeah, I think he's a favorite among all Penn State fans. I believe he did begin his life as a safety, became a linebacker. Tony Rojas, you know, famously came in at like 200 pounds, put on a lot of weight, became linebacker size. I'm going a long way to say those two guys, when you saw those interceptions against SMU, and you saw their ability to then run with the ball, you saw that great athleticism, Mike.
Yeah. Like, I don't think, like, off the bat, right, you're going to look at Dom and be like, man, this guy, he's a freak, right? But he's, like, sneaky. Like, he's like, sneaky, athletic. But he's able to play faster because how smart he is and his IQ he has for football. I think we talked about this a while ago. Like, that goes a long way, right? Like, he's going to play faster. He may not be fast 40 wise than somebody else, but he's going to play just as fast or faster than them on the field because he's smart. He knows what he's doing. IQ, he knows where everybody's supposed to be. So he's just, and then those guys, they get lucky more than the other guys, right? Because they're in the right spot at the right time. And I think that SMU game is kind of like what happened to Dom. And, you know, I'm really excited about him this year.
I like the way they get lucky. Yes, they get lucky often, those smart guys.
They do. They do.
The speed is based on anticipation. They're taking their first step while the other guy is still planted.
Yes. And
trying to figure it out.
We moved we had a guy, he was on this freak list. I forget who does it. You know, ESPN comes out with this freak list every year, one of the sites. And he was on it. He was a younger guy. He was a safety for us, right? And I mean, he looks like a freak, right? He looks like an avatar, like we always talk about. I mean, and then we had to move him into the box. I mean, it was so frustrating to watch those games and see just backpedals. You know, when we're running the ball, he's just, they say you put him on skates. You've got put on skates a lot. So yeah, that's where you got to be careful. And you know, that the guy has to be pretty tough and be able to, you know, be able to play that position. It's a tough position. I love that position.
Oh, athletic, smart, anticipate, quick, all those things. Of course, I've only left a couple minutes now for the defensive backs, so I'll lump them together, cornerback and safety, two positions that have been so good over the last couple of years. And it's like, okay, same thing. Who's next? Who's coming up, Mike? Who among the young guys has stood out to you?
Lane, Day-Day, he has the potential to be really special. I think, you know, Penn State fans have seen that a little bit, but from what I've seen this offseason, he's somebody that, you know, if he continues to develop, he can have a huge role in this season and our success, I think. Belgrave Shorter, another guy that, you know, had a position switch. He's going to be coming into that room now, trying to add some depth and hit that rotation. It'll be interesting to see how he does this fall camp. King Mack coming back from Alabama is great. He's coming off an injury. So it's going to be interesting to see him full go with all these other guys that has had a full offseason. But I feel like getting to know King Mack, I think he's going to not have an issue come fall camp and jumping back in the swing of things, because he's just a super positive, always around, always just like always staying super positive with the players. I just think he has just an older mentality to him, mature guy that's going to help that room. Wosley is somebody to be on lookout for. I think he's very athletic. He had a really good off season. You guys all know about Audavian, AC Collins, coming from a school that I worked at. Really like this kid. He's had a really good offseason. You guys obviously know about Elliot Washington. Probably had one of the most impressive offseasons past season or this past offseason. So he's another guy to be looking out for. You guys all know about AJ Harris, Zion, Zaki. Those guys are going to be studs. But those guys that I just talked about, I think, are the next guys in line that are going to really help. The Wosleys, ACs, Day-Day. To me, Day-Day is the guy that could have a really big role this year.
All right. Well, that's going to be it, Mike. I'll tell you what, I love talking to you about this stuff because it always gets me so excited. We're still 2 months away from football. I can't wait.
It's going to be here, though. I mean, in 2-3 weeks, it's funny because I was talking to one of our buddies. It's like, you know, they get this time. All the staff gets this month, right? It's like, it's really not, though. Like, it's not – this world is so – crazy compared to corporate world, because they only get so many days off, right? Yeah. So these guys, they're off, but they're not really off because they're so wired to be on their phones. They're so wired to, you know, to respond to, all right, how are we going to get this recruit? Or, hey, did you check up on your players? Or something's always going on. So they're still working, right? So then in 3 weeks, about 3 weeks, kids are here.
It's all go then. All right.
On.
That's the final word. Thanks, Mike. Thank all of you. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.